ladies and gentlemen, we've invited first class. Now we're inviting executive platinum, emerald, sapphire.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome back the indescribable Lee Harris from Blue Marine Travel. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good. Indescribable. That's, yeah, that works for me. I'm all right. Well, I know what that one means. So, yeah, happy, all good. But no, yeah, good week and raring to go.
Yeah, well, good week. And I have to mention that Crew Travel is brought to you weekly by Blue Marine Travel, who haven't lost a passenger since Lee Harris was born back in the late 1900s. And of course, their people move people as much as possible in today's day and age. You just never know, do you?
It's not easy at the moment, I've got to say. But yeah, we are still moving people.
It's chaos out there. I mean, it's absolute chaos. I know my oldest daughter contacted me. I think it was maybe a month ago, and she was complaining about an airline in Canada. And I said to her at that time, and at that time, chaos hadn't quite taken a hold as it has now, because of course, you know, kids' summer vacations, et cetera, hadn't started yet in the Western Hemisphere. And I said, honey, it's not just that airline. It is the world over. And I tell you, every week, it is getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, crazy.
Oh, it is. Oh, you know, it, and like you say, it's world over. You know, you can't, you know, us as a travel company, we can't turn around and say to the people who book with us that, you know, avoid this airline or avoid this airport, because the reality is it is the world over. It doesn't matter where you're flying from, where you're transiting through. It's just complete and utter carnage. There's no other way to describe it. And you see the pictures at the airports, at the baggage carousels, where there's thousands of bags that have been lost or just stored up somewhere. So it is, it's extremely difficult traveling at the moment. There's to be honest, there's no end in sight with it. It's probably not going to be until the start of next year when we start to see it ease. But yeah, it's tough times traveling.
Well, and I mean, I think part of the biggest problem is that, you know, back at the beginning of the pandemic, all of these airlines, you know, got a bit of a boost through governments around the world and you know, things to keep them afloat, things to keep them going. Now, as a result, we now are seeing inflation in many of these countries. So what we were earning, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, pre-pandemic, it doesn't go as far as it does today, but these airline companies are offering the new hires 15%, in some cases, 15% less than what they were offering pre-pandemic.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and it's a strange one to me, because you've got to, surely the airlines have got to weigh up. Do you get people in at a fair wage and then you can operate your flights, or do you try and barter and haggle with these people and try and get them down less? But in the meantime, while that's happening, you're having to cancel hundreds, thousands of flights a week, especially during the summer period, which is, you know, going to be your busiest period. So yeah, it's a strange decision. Look, at the end of the day, it's not just purely the fact that they can't get, that they're not getting the staff in because of wages. It is a major part, but it's not the only reason why. There's lots of other facets to it as well. But you know, you would think that's probably the one part which is the easily fixed. You know, you pay people what they're worth and you get them back in to do the job, and then that would help. But for whatever reason, they seem to be, deciding not to do that.
Well, heaven forbid the shareholders and CEOs lose a portion of their huge bonuses at the end of the year, no matter what the world situation is. But once again, if I was
Queen of the world.
Right, let's get into it. EU travel restrictions, what's going on there?
Yeah, it's a question we're still getting asked quite a lot about, especially with the med season in full swing. Is the entry rules to European countries with regards to COVID? Although it seems like COVID's over at the moment, there are still some notable exceptions that have restrictions in place. France, for one, continues to remain one of the EU countries that still require travellers to follow coronavirus entry rules, even though the summer season has officially started. The French authorities currently apply different entry rules depending on the country a person is travelling from. There are two different categories of countries of origin, the green and the orange category. Now, the green list of France includes all the EU countries as well as 10 third countries. travellers who reach France from a country that's part of the green list and not required to follow any additional rules as long as they provide a vaccination, recovery or test certificate. Now, similar rules do apply to those travelling to France from a country placed on the orange list. Fully vaccinated and recovered travellers from countries that are part of France's orange list are permitted restriction-free entry. However, on the other hand, those who have not been vaccinated or recovered from the virus must present a negative test result, as well as a compelling reason to justify the need to enter the territory of France. Now, unfortunately, for any crew who are working the med season and they're based in France, if you are unvaccinated, work-related travel currently does not fall under one of the compelling reasons. On to the Netherlands. Travellers from non-EU countries need to present a vaccination or recovery certificate to be permitted entry to the Netherlands. Travellers from non-EU countries who do not hold any of the two certificates are currently banned, meaning, again, you would not be able to enter the Netherlands as it stands at the moment. In contrast, travellers from the EU countries, they can enter the Netherlands restriction-free, and that's regardless of their vaccination status or the purpose of their trip. Last but not least, Spain, despite dropping its entry rules for EU Schengen area travellers, Spain still requires nationals of non-EU countries to meet certain entry rules. Now, the Spanish Ministry of Health notes that all third country travellers must present a vaccination, recovery or test certificate upon their arrival in Spain. Those who present one of these passes are permitted entry for all kinds of purposes. However, it has been emphasised that travellers who do not hold the EU digital COVID certificate or an EU equivalent will still need to fill out the health control form and have a PCR test no more than 72 hours before departure.
Right. Well, no one said it was going to be easy.
No, it's not, is it? Nothing's easy in the world at the moment.
It's just, everything is so confusing. We were talking off air just about the fact that, you know, I have two kids that are traveling to see their father in Germany, and one has a Canadian passport and the other one has a British passport, and yet they reside in Spain. And, you know, I mean, today's day and age, everything is just so much more difficult, so much, because, you know, one passport holder will have to do something regardless of where they live. You know, yeah. It's what passport they're traveling on. It's like, oh. Anyways, let's not go there. That'll just confuse me. I just need it all written down. And everything.
Monday.
I know, right? And everything, of course, is going to be on your website. So those that didn't quite catch it that quickly, like me,
yes.
Don't worry. It's going to be on Blue Marine.
It will be on there. Or just play it back in slow motion, and then you'll pick it up.
Yeah, you'll see Rhea's contortioning. That's great. Don't play it back in slow motion. Bad enough on screen without slow-mo. Air New Zealand news from them.
Yeah, Air New Zealand is promising economy passengers the best sleep in the sky when it launches flights with bunk bed style sleeping pods in 2024. Called Sky Nest, the sleep pods will be installed in the carrier's ultra long haul Dreamliner aircraft from 2024. The six pod units are said to be the first such offering in the world for economy passengers and were first announced back in 2020. Greg Foran, Air New Zealand chief executive, said, "We wanted to offer our economy customers a lie flat option, and that's how Sky Nest was born. They believe it's going to be a real game changer for the economy travel experience. Passengers will be able to book 4-hour sessions in the sleeping pods at an additional cost. Unfortunately, they've not announced how much it's going to be at this moment in time. Also from 2024, Air New Zealand will offer a new business premier lux suite and a new business premier seat."
You know what? I can guarantee you that they're not going to think this through. Sorry, Air New Zealand, but please do think this through. But if the cost of your 4 hours in the sleep pod brings it up to the same price as, you know, business class, what's the point, right?
Yeah, let's hope sense prevails, and it's a reasonable cost where, you know, the average traveler can afford it. So we'll see.
We're talking about a corporation in the year 2022.
Very true. Yeah.
Common sense? What? What's that? Amsterdam Airport and chaos.
Yes, it just goes hand in hand, doesn't it? Amsterdam's airport Schiphol has notified its passengers to travel effectively. That's while herds of people are waiting to board their flights. According to a statement updated by the airline on June 29th, passengers are required to have as little baggage as possible, asking those who travel with checked baggage to put all of their hand baggage belongings in there. For those traveling with only a piece of hand baggage, the airline staff encourages them to bring only that piece of baggage and not take another carry-on as well. A press release from the airport stated, "We understand that given the crowds at the airport, you would like to arrive at Schiphol well ahead of time. But please consider that you're only welcome at the departure hall 4 hours before your flight. That way you help us spread out the crowds better and simulate a smooth flow around the check-in desks and the security control." For those arriving earlier at the airport, the staff recommends waiting inside Schiphol Plaza until they have to enter the departure hall. Also, they encourage using public transport so that passengers can arrive directly at the plaza and not hang around the departure halls again.
Never mind. It's like, you know what, then why, from the sounds of it, it's so damn, by the time you figure out all the rules and regulations around Amsterdam Airport, you could probably get on, you know, that Euro train thingy and get to the closest other airport and get to your destination faster with your luggage.
You know what, it's interesting because certain airlines, I was reading today, certain airlines are actually going to be moving out of Amsterdam Airport for a little bit and moving. I know Air Malta are going to be moving to Rotterdam Airport for a little while. There's a low-cost carrier called Corendon. I believe they're moving to Rotterdam Airport as well. And I believe there's also another airline, I can't remember off the top of my head, they're going to be looking to move to Liège Airport in Belgium. So, you know, Amsterdam is definitely one of the hardest hit airports in the world at the moment. You know, again, we've said it's world over. A lot of airports are in chaos, but Amsterdam seems to be especially hit hard. And certain airlines are going to be moving out and moving to other airports nearby.
It really surprises me too, because I mean, the Dutch are, it's not a bad thing, but they're really anal retentive.
Is that generalization there, Ria?
Well, no, I mean, I mean it in a good way. Like, I mean, you know, they're on time and they're very, you know, sort of regimented when it comes to services and you know, I mean, the Dutch are pretty well known for,
yeah,
things working the way they should.
Yes. Yeah. And just clearly it's not at the moment.
No. I guess anal retentive was the wrong word to use, but first one that came to mind on a Monday morning. Qantas.
Again, not good news. In a blow to Australian crew heading to and from work, Qantas has announced plans to cut domestic capacity in the coming months. They are citing sustained high fuel prices and near-term resourcing pressures. Domestic flights will be cut by 15% for July through to September, and then 10% from October through to March next year. Currently, there are no plans to cut international capacity, but that is subject to change, obviously, with Qantas currently operating at around 70% pre-pandemic levels.
Wow. I have to say, you know, you have to subscribe to Lee's LinkedIn, because I mean, by this afternoon, everything could change and there could be another strike, or there could be another airline that has just said, we are no longer flying at all to X country. Like, it's yeah, absolutely crazy right now.
It is. Yeah, it's absolutely madness. And like you say, it is. It's a daily thing. You know, again, like we talked back at the start of the pandemic, when all of the different rules and restrictions were being put in place with countries closing down, all the rest of it. It's similar in that respect, that it's moving so fast paced that airlines are cancelling flights. You know, and we're not talking about one or two flights here. You know, we're talking hundreds of flights that are being cancelled. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll try and get the information out as quickly as possible. But, you know, even we're finding it difficult getting out as quickly as we possibly can, because like you say, it's you know, the flight's going, oh, no, hang on a minute, we're not going to cancel that, or it's going to be delayed for 10, 12 hours. You know, so it's almost like a game of cat and mouse at the moment.
Yeah, because I think I saw it, I'm not sure how long ago, but it was a low-cost carrier, sort of like for vacationers, that I think it was Turkey or something, but they were just no longer going to fly there for an entire month.
Yeah,
it was literally that fast. It's like, you know what, no longer going to this country, sorry. And it didn't matter that they had all these flights booked, you know. Then the chaos begins, right? Then of course, you know, all of those people, and we're talking hundreds of passengers per plane, So all of those people are going to be frantically calling the airline, trying to get their money back or trying to figure out how to rebook or how they're going to get to their ultimate destination. And so, you know, the backlog gets worse and worse and worse and worse because, you know, if when you're talking an entire country, an entire airline, 200 or 300 passengers per plane. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, and like, yeah, exactly right. And, you know, especially peak time summer months, you know, when the kids are off school and everybody's planning their summer vacation, you know, it's tough. It's really tough. You know, people have saved their hard-earned money for it and eventually they're told that their flight's not operating anymore. And the problem is it's not as simple as just saying, okay, well, we'll transfer, you know, with regards to the airlines themselves as well. They can't just transfer you onto another flight because they're not flying that route or, you know, they've cut 10 or 15 or 20% of their schedules. So the flights are already full. So again, you know, people might say I'm biased or I've got, you know, a motive for saying it, but book through a reputable travel agent. It's worth your weight in gold at this moment, especially with the way the world is.
Yeah. Because that way, I mean, you're not, otherwise you could be waiting a year for any refund. And so that is definitely your 2022 vacay down the toilet for a lot of people.
And not only that, but again, you've still got the same issues of, you know, you've got to think if your flight is canceled and there's 300 people on that flight, that's just one flight of that airline's fleet. You're trying to phone them and trying to speak to them, you're talking hours. I mean, we're talking 3-4 hours you're looking at to try and get through to an airline just to try and get some sense from them of what's happening. And the reality is they probably don't even know straight away what they're going to be able to do with you. So you could be stuck on a phone call for 3 hours and come off and still not knowing what you're going to be doing. So at least if you've got a travel agent, they can be that middleman speaking to the people to find out the information for you.
Yeah, I think it's worth the extra, I don't know, 50, 100, whatever it is on top to get you to sit on the phone for 3-4 hours for me.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Flatter. Yeah. Have fun. What's going on with major US carriers at the moment?
Yeah. So passengers on major US airlines will soon be able to register for their flights with an X in the gender slot of their personal information. This comes in response to the White House's announcement in March that Americans will have the choice to mark X for their sex for both social security and passports. Several major US airlines are in agreement that their computer systems should be updated to allow passengers to select X for their gender when booking a flight. These airlines include major ones: United, Delta, Alaska, JetBlue, Southwest, American, and Hawaiian Airlines.
Well, I mean, if you're female, it's probably best to check X because you probably have more rights.
That's very true when it comes to the US. Yes. Yeah. There's a tip for people there. Look, a RIA tip.
No, I know, right? I always come up with the best ones, I think. Mark the box with X because you know what? Yeah. They'll give you more that way. If you mark it as female, sorry, back of the line, baby. Right. See, there, I had to get political, didn't I? I had to. I just couldn't help myself.
You couldn't help yourself. As your Monday political rant out of the way.
Really? You think it's out of the way? You don't think I'm going to have anything more to say?
Just our interview. I mean, the other ones to come afterwards. There you go.
Good. Well, I was just making sure that I was allowed to, you know, continue my political rants throughout the week. But as long as I am, I'm happy. I'm happy. Right, Lee, I have to say thank you ever so much because, of course, right now it's essential to be kept up to date. And I have to say to all the viewers out there, do make sure to sign up for Lee's updates because, well, I mean, I follow them every day and get really, really depressed.
But I'm good at that.
It's good to know because especially if you're looking to join a boat somewhere or you're looking to go look for work, whatever it may be, whatever the purpose, you know, maybe home on leave. It's good to know what's going on in the world of travel right now. And you know, we thought things were bad at the beginning of the pandemic. Well, it seems like they're just as bad now.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's just a different kind of bad, I think, is the,
Yeah. Well, and I also have to remind everybody that Crew Travel is brought to you by Blue Marine Travel. We haven't lost a passenger since Lee Harris was born back in the late 1900s. And of course, their people move people. Lee, thank you very much once again.
Hey, so it was a pleasure. Hopefully, fingers crossed, next week we'll have some good news.
Right. And if we don't, we'll make some up.
Yeah, exactly right. Sounds like a plan.
Perfect. You've been watching another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're boarding passengers seated in zones E.